This is the son of PCJ.
Mr. Bond, there is no leaving us now. You tied to the chair with those headphones will make you listen to this program, and you will die a horrible death.
Yes, but I see you've put my favorite program on, Media Network Plus, so ha 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 to you.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette McQuarrie and Keith Perrell.
Well, hello. It's nice to have you with us once again. Last week, we told you about the rebirth of Radio Berlin International, formerly the international voice of the German Democratic Republic, otherwise known as East Germany. Well, this story has taken another strange turn. How strange a turn is it? Well, stay tuned because you're in for one of the oddest topics that we've ever talked about on this program. And this is Media Network Plus. Hello, comrades. Tovarish, I'm talking to you. First, here's Keith with a look at some of the headlines from the world of media.
During the Second World War, Switzerland's fledgling shortwave radio service was essential to its attempts to communicate its policies and actions to an external audience, made up of both foreign governments and the Swiss abroad. The archives of the shortwave service, founded in 1935, have been digitized and are now available online at Swiss Info.
I am perfectly convinced that someday will come when the turmoil of war will cease and peace will be restored. But when? Day and night, this burning question tortures the mind of every man and every woman in Poland. Each time they look with distress at their pale and starving children, they are desperately asking themselves, how long will the frail bodies resist? Is there any help coming?
The Swiss shortwave service was the forerunner to Swiss Radio International, which later became Swiss Info. The manuscripts of news bulletins from that dark time in Europe reveal Swiss thinking on events both out of its control and right on its doorstep as the country desperately held on to its beloved neutrality. The SWS broadcast news and analysts of military events on both sides. Broadcasts by SWS at the time were notable for the fact that they were both the first news bulletins produced by a dedicated Swiss editorial team. Previously, news bulletins had been written and read by journalists from the Swiss News Agency, a press organization. Representatives from the Voice of America and Radio Free Asia insist their goal is to only educate North Koreans about the reality of what is going on in their country and around the world. We're not interested in promoting the overthrow of the regime in North Korea, said Lee Dong-hyuk, the chief of the Voice of America's Korean service. We're not engaged in any form of political goals or objectives. We provide information, he said. A better informed citizen can make informed decisions about their fate, whatever direction they might want to go. Max Kwok, Radio Free Asia's Korean service director, echoed that position, adding, "The value of what we offer to the people of North Korea depends on its objectivity, accuracy, and reliability. We believe our listeners in North Korea want the truth." Kwok and Lee looked forward to a day when their jobs will become obsolete, but they said don't expect on that any time soon. The English language Russia Today last week tweeted that its hosting provider had confirmed that RT.com was under a DDoS attack. An anti-WikiLeaks group subsequently claimed responsibility, but there was yet no proof of this connection. This also happened on the day when a Russian court decided the fate of three members of a punk protest band Pussy Riot, which have been very critical of Russian President Vladimir Putin. RT's tweet came through at 8:12 a.m. Around 20 minutes later, AntiLeaks tweeted that it was responsible for the DDoS attack and attached a hashtag supporting Pussy Riot. The WikiLeaks account then went on to condemn the attack, suggesting that it was a connection with RT's support of Assange rather than the punk band. And with that look at some of the headlines from the world of media, we end this bulletin. If you wish to find out more about these and other stories, we invite you to check out the blog from Kim Andrew Elliott. You can find a link for them at www.pcjmedia.com. At the bottom of our page, you'll see an icon for Kim Andrew Elliott. I'm Keith Parent.
So, Keith, last week you were talking about the return of a radio station called Radio Berlin International, now, talking about a trip down memory lane. And it seems that this strange story just keeps getting stranger. What's going on with it?
Well, to give you a little background in case somebody is not familiar with Radio Berlin International, Radio Berlin International was the voice of the German Democratic Republic, also known as East Germany. Now, West Germany had Deutsche Welle, and Communist Germany had Radio Berlin International. And what happened was, a few weeks ago, one of our listeners posted something up on the PCJ Facebook page. And it was shocking to me because it said, Radio Berlin International has come back. And I went, wait a second, was I sleeping and all of a sudden East Germany reformed again? I mean, it was just the strangest thing.
No kidding.
Now, Radio Berlin International signed off in 1990. Now, many people may know the Berlin Wall came down in 1989, and it was almost a year after the Berlin Wall came down that many government institutions in East Germany continued until they can find a way that they could join their West German counterparts to become one organization. Radio Berlin International was one of those. After the station signed off, quite a few of the staff ended up at Deutsche Welle. A lot of others took early retirement, and some of them lost their jobs as well. Now, not too long ago, I had listened, because I hadn't listened to it in a very long time, the last broadcast that Radio Berlin International put out in English. And before they continued with the rest of their program, right after the news, the head of the English service made sort of an odd editorial.
My name is Robin Mitchell, head of the English section, and I'm here to host this final program from the German Democratic Republic for you. At midnight tonight, my country, the German Democratic Republic, will cease to exist. Earlier this year, the two leading Christian Democrats of the two Germanies said, no one will be worse off than before, once Germany is united. Well, I would like to point out two errors. One is that there are already more than 2 million people in this country who are out of a job and far worse off than before. And the second error is that there is no unification of two Germanies, but rather an annexation of the leftovers of 40 years of so-called socialism by the Big Brother. And that is exactly what has happened between Deutsche Welle of Cologne and Radio Berlin International. After much sweet talk about a fusion and merger on an equal footing, what is happening is that Radio Berlin International will disappear tonight, and that Deutsche Welle will have taken over our frequencies and our transmitters tomorrow. Out of a total staff of 250 RBI employees, a mere handful might get a new job with Deutsche Welle. Thus, like for so many in this country, Unification Day spells unemployment for many of my colleagues. The champagne of jubilation has a very bitter taste to it.
Anyway, Paulette, that was kind of an editorial from the head of the English service at Radio Berlin International when they signed off.
Now, talk about just picking up one of the words that they used, definitely bitter.
Yes, yes. Now, I myself, I was a listener of Radio Berlin International. But getting back to this odd story, there's a Facebook page out there, there's a YouTube channel, there's a Twitter account, and so many other places where this organization called Radio Berlin International has been posting stuff like crazy. Old pictures, old QSL cards, and, you know, they're planning to come back and everything, but yet at the same time, they're not giving too many details. It would be like, for example, Paulette, I know that you have Ukrainian background, and it would be like all of a sudden one day you get a letter from the Ukraine saying, oh yes, Radio Kiev is coming back.
You know what I mean?
That was
my thought when you told me about this. I thought, how strange is that? It's like, is somebody stepping back into a time capsule and nobody else is joining them? Like, this is just so strange. So you said that there was a Facebook page. So did you get a hold of anybody whoever's behind this resurrection of Radio Berlin International from communist days?
Well, I posted a number of questions on their Facebook page and also messaged them privately, which is questions, basic questions like, what is your content going to be? And every single time I would get back a standard reply that didn't respond to any questions. And then what happened was I remembered an email that I'd received maybe just over a week ago, and I dug it up, and there was a phone number of somebody by the name of Bruno Barth. So I decided to call him up, and this is what he said at the beginning.
The program we will do is not political. We have parts of industrial teams. We have parts of cultural work, youth work, education work. We will promote new technologies in radio technologies. We will promote new technologies of energy and so on. Not political, and all these things from the history of GDR is not interesting for us, and is also not interesting for the listeners. We have in the last weeks many, many feedback from international listeners, and they are interesting not for political things. And RBI should be a voice, an international voice, that all interesting technology parts or energy things can make public.
So I hope that he isn't the one that's going to be behind the mic.
It was almost as if they didn't have an idea of how to respond.
Well, yeah, that was what I got, Keith, and that is very reminiscent. I visited the old Soviet Union back in 1983 or 84, and that just is very, very, sounds familiar. I felt like I was stepping back in time was listening to this guy.
Well, you know, one question, and I think this is a viable question, is, you know, where's the money going to come from? Because the East German government is no longer around. The Germans already have Deutsche Welle, which the German government funds. So what about RBI? So I asked the question, you know, where is RBI going to get its funding? And this is how he responded. Now, I should tell you that this clip is a little bit longer.
The money is only privately.
Mm-hmm.
The people we have phoned RBI in this year. We have created an association, and this association, the name is Center of Radio and Energy Technologies Known. And we give our privately money in this association, and in step two, we can have money from the government, or we will donate from privately organizations or from other privately people.
Okay, now here's something I'm really curious about. I mean, this is something when I started reading the information that people sent me, right, is why call it Radio Berlin International?
Yes, we call because we will get the information, the first information, that in the transmitter station, in the big historical transmitter station known is create association. That's the main information, and we have think the best is that we get the old radio name RBI to the antenna and say worldwide, hey, here is a new association, and the main focus is that we will protect the historical transmitter station known, and on the second we will do working for research and working for technical education. We have an interesting situation that the most of the listeners of RBI are not interested for political. They are more interesting for technical things and for educational, cultural things. And the part of political is from 100%, perhaps 10 or 15%. And the people are not interesting for political things. The most people are interesting for cultural, technical, education, and other things. And I was grow up in the GDR, in the east side, and a part in the west side. My family is coming from the west side and from the east side. And I was growing up on two sides. And I can say to you, the Federal Republic of Germany, the GDR and the BRD and so on, the two states, no one of these two states is okay. The DDR is not okay and the BRD is not okay. All two states have problems.
What struck me about these clips with Bruno is just he kept going round and round in circles and saying the most ridiculous thing. For one thing, you know, his English is not very good, so I don't imagine he would be the one behind the microphone if they did decide to go ahead with this. But it's very, very curious. He keeps talking about nobody's interested in politics. They're going to stay away from politics. But politics is what it was all about, for one thing. And for another, politics is really the hottest topic now in the broadcasting business. If you look down south to south for me to the United States, it is the political talk shows and blogs that draw the most traffic. This is what people are most interested in. And he's saying that, oh no, there's this nostalgia for the past, but not the politics. And that just doesn't make really any sense. This guy must be living in a dream world. Are you sure he's not delusional? Is there anything in your exploration of this story that indicated that this really was real, or is this just somebody with access to technology that's living in a dream world?
After I did this, I thought, you know what? I should have a friend of mine who's actually a freelance journalist also contact him and see if he could ask the same questions and see if the answers are the same. And I sent my friend the exact same questions. And I said, ask these questions and then we'll compare notes. And you know what? Yes, they was the same outline. Basically, it was talking with not really saying anything. Now, this is where the story even becomes funnier. About an hour after all this happened, and my friend talked to him and asked him some questions, they posted on their Facebook page, thanks to, I'm not going to mention his name on the air, but thanks to so-and-so, and they posted a picture. Now, I've known my friend for more than 15 years, and that was not his picture. So I posted on their RBI comments area, who is this? And they put, oh, this is Mr. So-and-so. And I went, oh, this is too funny. So I called my friend again. I said, I know we haven't seen each other for a couple of years because we live in different parts of the world, but did you go in for any plastic surgery? Basically, what they did is because he has a Chinese-sounding name, they just went to the internet, maybe Googled the name, put Chinese, and just took a picture of anybody off the internet and put it there. So he laughed and he thought this was too funny. So he had their email because they sent him some information. Now I should tell you, he asked for the information in English. They sent it to him in German.
Okay.
So he wrote back and he said, look, I don't think this is very professional to put a picture. I mean, this is not me. This is not my picture. How dare you do this? What do you say to this? Well, about 12 hours later, he got a response. Thank you for writing us. Oh, it's really nice to hear from you. And I hope that you will continue listening to us.
Okay.
And that was it.
No acknowledgement, no apology.
Nothing. Now,
wow.
This is where... Now, do you think it could get any funnier, Paulette?
Okay, that's a leading question. So my answer and what I really think are two different things.
Well, here's the kicker. After all this happened, I went back on Facebook and I couldn't access their site. I couldn't access the RBI Facebook page. Now, first I thought that, oh, they took it down. Now, just before we recorded this segment, what I did is I also have another Facebook page, which I use my Chinese name for my Chinese friends who don't speak English, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I logged in with my Chinese name, and I was able to access it. So what they did is they banned me from their Facebook page because I was asking questions and I put them in an embarrassing situation.
You know, Keith, this really puts me in mind, as you know, I was recently in Ukraine, and I was in the western city of Lviv, and the driver our interpreter driver was, for some reason, I ended up just with the two of us in the car, and he was pointing out some landmarks in Lviv, and one of them, he said, you see that tall building over there? And I says, yeah. And he said, that's the tax department. I said, oh, well, very interesting. And he said, it used to be the Communist Party headquarters. And I said, oh, now that's interesting. What has changed? Anything changed much? And he says, yeah, the sign. So everything else stayed the same. The job descriptions, the duties, the staff, everything, they just changed. The business as usual. And they just changed the sign for optics. And so they're not fooling anybody. The other thing he was saying is that the president, Yanukovych, is putting up these ridiculous propaganda signs saying the age of the ruin is over and prosperity has arrived in Ukraine. And of course, he would put this right in front of some very dilapidated building or vehicle or just the worst parts of town. And people are just laughing. And, you know, people see through this, but they're carrying on like, talk about in a dream world. They're living in the past. Or this story reminds me so much of that. And I'm just wondering, is this just somebody really, on a nostalgia kick?
Well, you know, Paulette, because we're running out of time, but, you know, one of the things that I discovered when I checked their Blogspot page that they have, they have pictures of antennas claiming to be the antennas that they're going to use and everything, and this is a picture from the transmitter site. And I looked at them and I went, well, something strikes me as odd, and I realized the pictures were taken from a sales brochure from a French company called Thales that made these beautiful rotating antennas.
From a brochure
that they, I mean, it's amazing, you know, I mean, we could actually go into a whole other topic here about, you know, on the internet, you know, anything can be created. And I mean, this whole thing is just so strange and so peculiar that I thought, you know, we have to talk about it for one show. I didn't think we would do it so soon because I talked about it last week, but it just became stranger and stranger. And, you know, Paulette, before we end off, I know that there's two people right now who would love this kind of story, and that is Andy Sennett, who had the Media Network blog at Radio Netherlands and also did stuff on the Media Network program when it was on Radio Netherlands, and also Jonathan Marks. I think the two of them would get a kick out of this story for sure.
Well, I think a lot of people will get a kick out of the story. Now time for propagation. Here's Dan Hensley with a look at what we can expect over the next week.
Here's propagation for the week from August 25th to August 31st, 2012. On August 25th, the 10.7-centimeter flux is 120, jumping 10 points to become 130 on August 26th. The 10.7-centimeter flux will jump up 5 points from August 27th to August 29th to become 135 during those 3 days. On August 30th and 31st, the 10.7-centimeter flux drops 5 points to 130 on those last 2 days of the week. The A-index will be 8 on August 25th and 26th. The rest of the week from August 27th to August 31st will see an A-index of 5. The KP-index will be 3 on the first 2 days of the week. That's August 25th and 26th. The rest of the week from August 27th to August 31st, we will see a KP-index of 2. We see some sunspots this week. They are 15, 46, 48, 51, and 52. No risk of strong flares has been observed as of this time. As of the time of this report, the sun's X-ray output has nearly flatlined and solar activity is low. One coronal hole has been observed, and a stream of solar wind flowing from the indicated coronal hole should reach Earth on August 26th or 27th. August 25th and 26th mean a little more D-layer absorption with the A-index being high, and the rest of the week, with the A-index being only mid-range high, propagation could be in the hit or miss category, depending on where you live or unless the A-index changes to a range between 0 and no higher than 3.
Thanks, Dan. And with that, we must leave you now. If you'd like to listen to this program again or catch past editions of the show, just visit www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. If you have any story ideas and suggestions, or if you'd like to let us know your thoughts about our program, drop us an email at mnp@pcjmedia.com. So, on behalf of Dan Hensley and Keith Perron, I'm Paulette McQuarrie, hoping that you'll join us again in 7 days' time. To end our show today, we're going to leave you with some East German marching music. Auf Wiedersehen.